Okay, let's begin the fourth parak of Yadayim. The first Mishnah starts off with Bo Bayom, on that day. On what day? So this is continuing what we had at the very end of the third parak of Yadayim. We brought up in passing, really, that Rabbi Shimon ben Azai had a Kabbalah from the 72 elders on the day that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became Rosh Yeshiva in Yavne. So we said that this was because originally Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi, he was the Rosh Yeshiva, and after a number of incidents with Rabbi Yeshua, they sought to replace him, and so they replaced Rabbi Gamliel with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah now becomes the Nasi. So on that day, he had slightly different policies for running the yeshiva than Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel thought it should be more of an elitist yeshiva, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah thought it should be open to everybody. And so they expanded the yeshiva, a lot more Talmidim were admitted to the yeshiva. And among the things that they did that day, so there were a number of halachas. They discussed many, many halachas and came to conclusions about a number of issues in halacha. So, Bo Bayom, on that day, Nim Nivagamru, literally that would mean they counted up and they concluded. They, in other words, they tallied up votes, people, anything that was subject to debate, they tallied up the votes, so to speak, and they concluded, they came to a psak halacha regarding a number of halachic issues. So among them is what is discussed in this mission of the following. Bobayom, on that day, the Rav Elazar ben Azariah became the Rosh Yeshiva in Yavne. Nimnu v'gamru, they tallied up the votes, and they concluded the apsak halacha al arevas haraglaim. Regarding the arevas haraglaim, areva is, very often we find that areva is like a mixing bowl of some sort. Here we're talking about a bowl that's used for feet. In other words, it's used for washing feet. Now, what are they weighing on over there? Shehi mishnei lugin v'ad tishakabin. That this bowl varies in size. So if it's somewhere between 2 lug and 9 kab. Now, how much is that? Remember, we started off the whole masechta by discussing a revius of a lug. Remember, a lug is, depending on the shitas of Chaim Na and the Chazanish, is somewhere between roughly the size of a 12-ounce soda can and a 20-ounce bottle of soda. So 2 lug is 2 soda cans or two 20-ounce bottles of soda. That volume, a lug is a unit of volume. And same thing, a kav is also a unit of volume. How much is a kav? A kav is 4 lug. There are 4 lug in 1 kav. So right now here we're talking about somewhere between the volume of 2 lug and 9 kav. So that would be somewhere between 2 lug and, if there are 4 lug per kav, that would be between 2 lug and 36 lug. Okay, so it's somewhere between, maybe you would say it like this, it's somewhere between 2 soda cans or two 20-ounce soda bottles and 36 soda cans or 36 soda bottles, the 20 fluid ounces. So either way, you have a bowl, you have a bowl or a tub of some sort that's used for washing feet, and the capacity of the bowl is between 2 lug and 9 kav. Shenizdika, and this bowl cracked. So now that it cracked, it no longer can hold. It doesn't have that capacity anymore to be able to wash a person's foot in. So now this is a classic Hilchas Kalim question, Hilchas Tuma question, that normally in order for something to be Mekabel Tuma, it has to be a Kli, but there are specific kinds of Tumas that something can be Mekabel, depending on what it's used for. So of particular note in this Mishnah is what's called Tumas Midras. Tumas Midras is, we've discussed this before, when you have a Zav or a Zava or a Nida. So a Zav is a man who discharges a certain fluid that renders him Tame. That's how he gets his status as Zav. He discharges a couple times, or Anita, when she discharges and as part of her menstrual cycle. A Zav is when a woman discharges a fluid, and that also results in her being a Zava. Either way, a Zav is able to transmit Tumah now. How does he transmit Tumah? So one way is to touch things. If he touches things, if he carries things, those are ways of transmitting Tumah. Now remember, though, what's his status? His status is, he is the status of an avatoma. He's just like a sheretz, or just like an avela. That's his status. He's like, he's an avatoma. He's the father of the toma, which would mean that if he touches a kli, if he touches a metal chair, let's say, with his hand, the metal chair becomes what? It becomes a rishon latoma. It goes down one rung, right? It goes down 1 degree. If that metal chair would now touch some food, the food, if it's chulin, let's say, it could become a sheni l'tumah. That's what we've discussed in the past. Now, there's the uniqueness of Tumas Midras. Tumas Midras is like from a lashon of dores, to step on, to put pressure on. So midras is when a zav puts pressure on something that's meant to hold his weight. He puts pressure, he supports himself with something that's meant to support his weight. So for example, if a zav touches a chair, it becomes, if let's say it's a metal chair, just to keep things simple, the chair becomes tame. But what about if he were to sit in the chair? That would be called natumas maga. He's not touching the chair. It's true, he is touching the chair, but there's a more extreme kind of tumah, and that is tumas midras. Tumas midras is that he is able not, when he transmits tumah, it's not just a rishon that he makes the chair into an avha tumah. So that's tumas midras. But tumas midras is only when the zav puts his weight on something that's meant to hold his weight. So if he were to sit on top of a book, the book's not meant to hold his weight. We would say to him, "Amod v'nasa malachtenu," about a book, right? Get off this book so that we can use it for what we need to do, for what we need to use it for. So that wouldn't be subject to tumas midras. And you should note, you might say, "Well, wait a second. Every tumas midras involves touching," but that's not true. Let's say he's sitting on top of a bed. The bed is meant to support his weight, but if there's a sheet on top of the bed, he's not touching the bed directly. He's touching the sheet. But even so, the bed, if he lies on it, if he sits on it, it's meant to hold his weight. The bed becomes an avhat tumah. So the question is over here, this bowl is used for rinsing feet, but you could also use it in theory. Maybe you could flip it over and you could use it to sit on top of it, or maybe you could sit inside of it. So what the question is now, if you have this bowl that's used for rinsing feet, what happens if it gets cracked? Now it's no longer usable for rinsing feet. Is it subject to tumas midras? Now, if I were to use that thing to flip it over and use it to sit on, maybe now it's something that can be used to support weight to be sat on, and therefore it should be subject to tumas midras. So says the Mishnah. One of the things that they weighed on was this issue. Bo vayom nimnu v'gamru. And that day, the Rav Elazar Mizrahi became Rosh Yeshiva in Yavna. They tallied up the votes. They concluded the Psak Halacha al Revas HaRaglaim regarding the bowl used for washing feet, Shehi Mishnei Lugin V'Atish HaKavin, which is of the capacity of something between 2 lug and 9 kav, Shenizaga, that if this bowl got cracked and no longer can be used for rinsing feet, Shehi Tameya Midras, that this bowl is subject to Tumas Midras. It doesn't mean that it is currently Tamei Midras. It means that it can become contaminated via Tumas Medras. So if a Zav were to sit on this bowl, it would become an Av Hatuma. Now, why would they weigh in on this? This means that if they're weighing in and if they're tallying up the votes, this means that there was Machlokas. Well, what Machlokas was there? Sherebi Akiva Omer, for Rabbi Akiva says, Areva Saraglaim Kishma, the bowl for feet, this bowl that was used for washing feet is like its name. In other words, it's designated for its specific purpose. The specific purpose is washing feet. It's not meant to be sat on. And therefore, even though right now, once it's cracked, it no longer is usable for washing, it doesn't make a difference. It cannot be makabel tumas midras. This bowl, if a zav would sit on this bowl, maybe if he flipped it over and sit on it, the bowl would not become an avatama. Maybe it would become a rishon latama, like if he touches any other kli, but would not become an avatama. So that was Rabbi Akiva's opinion. So they tallied up the votes about this issue, and they paskined that the halacha is not like Rabbi Akiva. They paskined that this bowl can, in fact, be makabel tumas medras. Okay.